Come on and get situated. Family of faith, it's great to see you all tonight. What a joy and an honor and a pleasure to be in the house of the Lord. Please go ahead and get a seat if you haven't yet. We only have two short announcements today, so I just need your attention for a brief moment. The youth hangout is this Sunday at 6 p.m., so 5th to 12th grade, come on out. I'm sure that'll be a great time for you. And then there was a Next Steps meeting that was tonight, and that's moved until Sunday after church. So sorry if you didn't know that, if you're planning to stay for that. Hooray, you'll be up here tonight. And then on Sunday after church, that'll take place. There's still a sign up in the back if you wanted to sign up for that and you thought it was tonight, so you still have some time. Go ahead and sign up for that. That's our only announcement. So with that, we'll just invite you to stand on your feet and worship our King.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy, we'll be right back.
trust in God. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. If I know my Father, I know my Father. The Lord is my Savior, so why should I doubt my victory? Why would I question staff that comforts me? He quiets the water, he quiets the storm inside of me. So what could be better?
Jesus, have it all, a blessing and a life. majesty and awe, Jesus have mercy. Oh, Jesus, have your church.
Well, It's good to have you all tonight. Happy Wednesday. Happy Wednesday. You have a pen? You have a pen? It's good to have you all tonight. We'll give everybody a chance to get their kids checked in and back up here. Thank you. Everybody doing good? How about right where you are, just raise your hands up and just worship Him one more time. We praise you, Jesus. You're so worthy. Lord, we belong to you. Our hearts belong to you. You're so worthy. Lord Jesus, we raise our hands up. The scriptures talk about this. The sign of surrender. We give up. We give it all. Like a little child that wants to be picked up. Lord, grab hold of us tonight. That you are our Father, loving Father. And you grab hold of us, pick us up, care for us. We thank you for that. Praise you, Jesus. We worship you. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Lord, we live our lives every day in worship of you. Everything that we do. The words that we say, that they would glorify you. The thoughts in our mind, that it would glorify you. The actions that we do, it glorifies you. How we respond to situations, that it would glorify you. That our whole life is a living act of worship. We praise you, Jesus. Lord, we wouldn't look to the right. We wouldn't look to the left. But we continually fix our eyes on you. You are the author. You are the perfecter of our faith. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh, amen. Amen. Well, look at your neighbor and say, it's good to see you. If you don't have one, I'm telling you, it's good to see you. There you go. All right, your tithe and offering. If you have something to give, envelopes are in chairs in front of you. If not, wave your hand around and one of the ushers will come find you. And they do a spectacular job. Every single service, we appreciate them. So, how about I'm going to put Bill on the spot. Bill Heitman, if you'll stand up right where you are and pray over the offering for us, I'd appreciate that.
Dear Heavenly Father, we pause for this moment now to focus our attention on you, dear Lord. Focus our attention on everything you've given us, Lord, the many, many countless.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. If you have something, you can bring it down to the baskets. And there was an announcement before church from Kelly. Also, one more announcement is we have our first water baptism Sunday of the spring coming up, the first Sunday of May, so a month from now. So if you've never been water baptized in accordance to the scriptures, but you are saved, go ahead and sign up at the back table. I will get a hold of you. We'll talk about it for a moment, and we will baptize some people right after church and celebrate as a church those people who are being baptized that day. So if you have questions about that, go ahead and let me know. All right, well, get your Bibles out. I hope you brought a Bible. Because we're going to be talking about the Bible. So get your Bibles out. And if you have it, 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 16. We'll get there in just a couple of moments, but you can turn there. 2 Timothy 3:16. By the way, if you don't own a Bible, let me know and I will get you a Bible. We have Bibles here you can have, so let me know if you need one. Over the next three Wednesday nights, and I just broke my glasses. Check that out. This ought to be interesting tonight. Somebody find me a piece of scotch tape. Joe, I guarantee your eyes will make me go cross-eyed. Probably won't work. He's just reading glasses, man. Fair enough. I'm kidding, Joe.
Oh, wait.
Mike's bringing me some scotch tape. We're going to fix this up real quick. Literally just broke them. You know why I break them? Because I buy them in cheap packs of 8 off Amazon. And I buy a pack of 8 like once every 2 or 3 months. And because I lose them, I have a pair in my car, a pair in my office, a pair in my bedroom, and there's a pair that I carry around that I break all the time. Anyway, so I need more glasses. Because I only have one more pair that I haven't gotten out of the pack yet. That's why. How much do these cost on Amazon?
They're like so cheap.
Like $15 for 8 of them or something. I guess that's why I break them all the time. You know what I did, though, one time? So I went to the eye doctor, right? And they're like, hey, you know, here's some glasses in our lobby. Why don't you? And I bought a pair. And it was like $250. When I came home, she's like, what are you doing? You know, you can get them for $3 a piece on Amazon. Anyways. So I buy the cheap ones, and they break when I'm cleaning them. I don't know what to do. Anyways, let's talk about the Bible over the next three Wednesdays at least. I want to talk to you about reading the Bible. How to read the Bible. 12%... Here's a little stat for you. 12% of Christians read their Bible daily. That leaves 88% who do not read their Bible daily. Now, let's not get legalistic about this. I understand you're going to miss some days in here and there. But I would say, this is my own statistic, Christians don't read their Bibles enough. Sound fair? How about I just say that's fair? So I just saw this actually on, I don't know what social media platform, I saw this like 3 or 4 months ago, and I was thinking just the other day, I want to find what I saw because that was really interesting because I wanted to use it for this series, and literally just yesterday I saw it again. I was like, see, the Lord helped me out. Yes. And I saw this, listen to this. People who read their Bible once a week find it doesn't really help you change your life. People that read their Bible twice a week find it really doesn't help you change your life. People that read their Bible at least 3 times a week, all of a sudden they start to see life change. But people who read their Bibles at least 4 times a week, check this out, loneliness goes down by 30%. Anger goes down by 32%. Bitterness towards other people for wrong hurts goes down 40%. This I thought this was interesting. Alcoholism goes down 47%. And people who share their faith goes up 200%. By reading your Bible 4 times a week. Now, here's what I guarantee. That's a very standalone statistic. Chances are the people that read their Bibles at least four times a week are also people that pray and probably go to church too. People that read their Bibles one time a week probably don't pray a lot, and their church attendance, I'm going to say, is pretty spotty. Just be honest. But reading your Bible at least four times a week makes a difference in your life. Your time in the Bible should not only be when you come to church, as much as that church benefits you. And hopefully the guy who teaches in church mostly is benefiting you. But that shouldn't be the only time you're in your Bible. Your eyes way back then, before the printing press really got going and the church really was not putting the Bible out there. The only time you were involved with the Bible is you went to some sort of church. But you have a Bible, might as well open the thing and start to read it. And get beyond the 12% that only read it one time a week. Now, let me just throw the wrench in the monkey business right here. If you say that you don't have time, I would just flat out say that's not true. You will make time for the things you want to make time for. And I'm not talking you got to read the Bible like 5 hours a day. I'm just talking opening the Bible and spending a little time in it. At least four times a week, according to that statistic, will help your life. Because the Bible is the living, active Word of God. Amen. Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God, or God breathed. In other words, it is from him. And it's beneficial. It's profitable for teaching, like we're doing now, for reproof, in other words, to check things, for correction when things do need corrected, and for training in righteousness. The Bible helps train you. That the man, and I'm going to throw the woman of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, by the way, when Paul wrote that, there was no New Testament. So when he says all Scripture is God-breathed, he is literally talking about what we consider our Old Testament, the Psalms, the prophets, and the law, okay? But we now stand today, in retrospect to what Paul is writing, we also include our New Testament in that what we have is God-breathed. This is God-breathed Scripture for your benefit to help equip you in the ways of righteousness, which is why you need to be in it. Okay? Let's just start there. But by the way, our Old Testament, we have our Old Testament. This is probably oversimplistic way of saying it. Our Old Testament comes from Judaism. We have our Old Testament because it was formed by Judaism. We have it. Our New Testament was formed and put together by the early church. So we have it through the working of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as people were led to collect what we call the canon of Scripture. And if you want to get into why certain things were in here, why certain writings are not in here, you can jump into all that if you want to. But the point is, what we have right here is sufficient for training in righteousness and for understanding salvation. Amen. You don't have to add to it. If you want to read some other stuff, great, as long as it doesn't contradict this. All right? But this is sufficient. Now, if you notice, I brought some Bibles tonight. This is sort of a little history of my Bibles. So this Bible right here was the very first, big boy Bible I ever owned. I got this when I was in grade school. Somehow I did something in Sunday school, and I got this Bible. It's an old-school King James Bible. It doesn't have a date anymore because the front page is gone. But I've kept this Bible this whole time. All right, I actually have it in my office. I didn't bring it. I have a Bible that was my great-great-great-great-grandfather's. It's German, all right, that my father kept and gave to me a few years ago. This Bible was my very first study and preaching Bible when I first got into the ministry. It's an NIV Bible. And as you can see, this thing has seen better days. And when this Bible started losing pages and was going through a lot of packaging tape to hold it together, I got my second study and preaching Bible that also has seen better days. And when one of these Bibles has blood in it, I used to get bloody noses out of the blue every once in a while. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I forget which one it is. I think I was in the Psalms I'm reading, all of a sudden it's all over my Bible. So my blood, sweat, and tears is in one of these Bibles. And when this one started falling apart and I couldn't keep the pages anymore, people that were around me bought me this Bible. And I think there's a date in this one, maybe just 10 years old, maybe. But this is my current Bible that I read daily. This is my study Bible right here. This is the NIV, by the way. That's what I use. That's what I grew up using. When I came to this church, you guys used the ESV. So instead of bringing you over the NIV, I just went and bought an ESV. And that's what I preached to you guys out of. That's what you guys were doing when I came. This Bible, by the way, is a Greek New Testament. And this is I had in college when I took Greek. So that professor would tell you to open up to a certain page, and your quiz was to translate what was in there. That's how we. Oh yeah, look at that. Can I see what this is real quick? There's my name, SC-122. That's my hall, Scott Hall, room 122. That's where I lived for 4 years in Springfield, Missouri. And yep, this is a translation from there for a quiz from John chapter 1, verse number 5, through John chapter 2, verse number 6. And I got a 104 out of 128. Not too bad. Anyways, put that back in there. Anyways, this is the history of my Bible. You know why I brought this to show this to you? Because the Bible has been a central part of my life. I actually wrote in one of these, let me see which one it is. It says something about, right here, I wrote this in front here. It says, if my Bible is torn apart, my life will not be. Amen. I believe that. If your Bible has a lot of use to it, and you got to eventually put duct tape on it and put the pages back in it and maybe get it rebound, and chances are your life is not in the pits too bad. Because if you're consistently in the Word, it'll help you. Amen. So we need to be people of the Word. Again, the Bible has been a central part of my life. The reason the Bible is a central part of my life is because I'm a Christian. Reading my Bible doesn't make me saved. I read my Bible because I'm saved. And because I want to be equipped to live a life of righteousness, this is a go-to in my life to help do so. Okay? So I don't have time to. Yes, you do. Again, you don't have to take hours at a time, but you do have time to crack your Bible open and spend some time in it. Now, when we're done tonight, I'm going to give you a foolproof, safe Bible reading plan before you go. All right? Because some people, I always hear, I don't even know where to start. What do I do? I'll tell you what to do. All right? But let me talk to you about the Bible for a few moments first. The reason the Bible is important to us is because it is divinely given, but yet human composed. The Bible was inspired, but people like you and I wrote it. The Bible is 66 books of the Old and New Testament, and it's God's inspired word through human words in history. And the unity of Scripture across thousands of years and many authors is a testament to the inspiration that it contains. Now, I think I got Justice back there. I forgot to ask him about this. There's a graphic there, and it looks like a bunch of squiggly lines all over. It's white. I think it's like on the second or third line. Do you see that, what I'm talking about? Yes. So around that circle are the books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Old Testament is blue, purple, whatever that is. New Testament is orange. Every line represents a cross-reference that we find in the Bible. That the Old Testament is cross-referencing the New Testament, the New Testament is cross-referencing itself, and vice versa. You see how connected the Bible is to itself? Even though it was written over thousands of years and a lot of different authors, different situations of time and history, that's how interconnected the Bible is to itself in inspiration from God. That's pretty amazing. You can't take, and it's not like all the authors of the Old Testament got together and had a meeting. Yeah. Okay, this is what I'm going to write about, this is what you're going to write about, and we're just going to make sure we're all on the same page here. These guys, most didn't even know each other. And by inspiration of God, they're composing these texts that got passed down orally and then written down. And there's hundreds and thousands of copies of different ones. And they use those copies to check proof each other. And then they realize, well these 10 texts say the same thing. This was a variant, so we're going to go with the texts that say the same thing. And we end up with our Bibles. Pretty amazing process of how we ended up with the Bible that we have. But that's the amazing connection within the Bible itself, and that comes through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So God's word divinely given to us. And by the way, it is revelation from God within particular circumstances and events of human history. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that next week when we talk about certain aspects of biblical interpretation. Now, in the Bible, here's some things. It records the who, the what, and the why of creation. Did you know Genesis chapter 1 and 2 is very poetic in nature? Did you know that? It's actually kind of poetry. And it records the who, the what, and the why of creation. The Bible records the story of salvation as we are saved by actual events, and not just simply ideas. Another thing, the Bible records God's interaction with man and that he does interact. And the whole point of the Bible, by the way, is to testify to Jesus. Because Jesus is the focal point of the entire scriptures. Okay? And certainly within that, it pronounces the kingdom of God and what life within the kingdom of God is and so forth. So the Bible is an essential cornerstone of the Christian faith and life in Jesus. And as a believer, again, I read the Bible not because I'm saved because of it. I read the Bible because I am saved. And what I do with my Bible is this. I read it. But how many ever been around somebody that talks about speed reading? I'm talking about, Margo's a fast reader. She can sit down and chunk through a book, and I'm just like, seriously, you just read that whole book? It's like 2 days, it's like 800 pages. How'd that happen? Okay. Some people are like, can read fast, but there's also this kind of thing out there. They can teach you how to speed read, gain information without reading everything. It's sort of this practice you can learn. Don't speed read the Bible. Read the Bible. But study the Bible. And you can't study things fast. In other words, take time. Now, I'm going to say something that may irk some of you. I've said some of this before, but understand what I'm saying when I say this. I am not a huge, giant fan of the read the whole Bible in a year plan. Do it. It's great. I say that because I'd rather you be slow and not try to conquer the Bible in a year. I read the Bible in a whole year. Well, great. What did you learn? That's what I would ask. So I read the Bible to study the Bible and in turn meditate on the Bible. One of the ways that we renew our mind in our faith is by the meditation of word. Now, meditation gets a weirdo rap, I guess, because of you find meditation of other religions. No, meditating on the Bible is simply rolling the scripture around in your mind. And it may take some memorization of the Bible in order to roll scripture around in your mind. So, you know, Psalm 23, I would memorize that. Just this morning in my prayer, I prayed Psalm 23 as part of my prayer this morning, meditating on the fact that the Lord is my shepherd, meditating on that I shall not be in want, meditating on that he is renewing and restoring my soul, and he does it by taking me to quiet places with him, green pastures and quiet waters, right? And you begin to meditate. So you read it, but you study it, then learn to meditate on it. It goes from rolling in your brain and but getting down into the depths of who you are. I pray a prayer, Lord, I want your scriptures to get deep within me. That's my desire, to catch your heart, right? So we read it to study and to meditate. Now, the Holy Spirit was sent to us to guide us in all truth, correct? Let me give you a key right here about reading your Bible, studying your Bible, meditating on your Bible. If you can remember to do this, it will help you. Every time you sit down to open your Bible to read it, stop and say, Holy Spirit, help me as I read your word. Help me, because you are the one that was sent to guide me in all truth and remind me of what Jesus has said. You are my counselor. Help me, because he will do so. And we invite, the Bible is the only book you will ever read that while you're reading it, you're directly connected to the one who inspired it. Right? So when you open it up to read it, ask for his help. So I just plopped open to, I can't even read what that says. 2 Samuel, chapter 18. This is when Absalom is killed. That's a great chapter in the Bible. Okay. Holy Spirit, help me as I read this chapter. What can speak through this? All right. So you ask for his help. See, that's a big key right there. But when you read the Bible, and I'm going to help you with this over the next couple weeks, the aim is simply the plain meaning of the text. Now, I understand there's all sorts of stuff in here. I could maybe in the next couple weeks I'll show you a couple of things that are very interesting about form of the way some biblical authors wrote it. And there's some things you have to understand of the genre of writing, of the time, and how they wrote things. It's some pretty interesting stuff. But don't go to the Bible looking for a bunch of hidden meaning stuff, codes and things of that nature. When you read the Bible, what does it say plainly? That's the goal. Okay? And I say that in order to say this, and I'll make a mention of this next week. The book of James says that not every one of you ought to be a teacher. Because James says that teachers will be judged more strictly. Teaching is one of the fivefold ministry gifts. So, I say that to say, probably the vast majority of you in this room are not called to be a teacher. The vast majority of you in this room are not called to be theologians. You don't have to go to Bible school and get a Bible degree. I did, but part of my calling, okay? So how about simply just deal with the plain meaning of a text? And let those who are called and actually into the gifting of the calling deal with the smaller nuances. It's not that you can't get into that stuff, but don't worry so much about it. Go after the plain meaning of a text. What is it saying, okay? Because you got to think about this. The faith in the scriptures as part of it has been handed down to us, has it not? It is not our job to mess with it. Okay? It's not our job to find a whole bunch of new meanings. If you ever hear somebody teach from the Bible and say, listen, I promise you, you've never heard this before, I'd be like, okay, you just about lost me there. I'll listen for a couple more moments, but this has been taught for thousands of years. The Old Testament, certainly. New Testament, as the letters were being circulated, you're talking up to maybe 100 AD or so, maybe a little after. A couple thousand years New Testament's been taught from. We shouldn't be coming up with a whole lot of new meanings out of this thing. Look for the plain, in other words, I'm saying look for the plain meaning of text. What's it saying? Read it, study it, meditate on it, okay? Now, reading the Bible cannot then be a chore, okay? Don't make it a chore. I'm not going to lie and say all the time, every time, but I enjoy opening my Bible to read it. There are some days I open it, read it, because I know I need to. There's a lot of days I open and read it because I'm looking forward to it. And I want to spend time in here. Because I am interested, again, in growing and becoming equipped. Becoming what God has intended me to be. And the Bible is where we stand for those growths and way that the Holy Spirit can actively work in our life. So again, it's not a chore. It's not a check mark on your spiritual to-do list. But you have to think about this. Why did God give this to us? Think about it. Why? Did he have to? No. So you start asking questions. Why is there such thing as prayer? Why is there a Bible that through the help of the Holy Spirit we have in our hands, that each one of us has, by the way, why is there the calling of the gathering of a church to come together like this and many different modes that are out there? Why? There are very positive reasons for it. It's not a chore, but it is an avenue of growth of relationship. And if you see it that way, this is for my good. It's not a chore. This is for my benefit, not something I just need to do so God's happy with me. This is something that will help me grow. I don't have to make sure I'm the most biggest Bible reader in the room, like spiritual pride. How much do you read your Bible every day? Oh, wow, you do 20 minutes? I'm going to do 21 tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? This is about your growth. And it's your benefit. So it's got to break past the 12% of the people that read their Bible once a week that are Christians. To make time for it in the midst of your busy life, but I would say that you have time. And it's been called a spiritual discipline, by the way. That's a great name for it, but then that sounds very negative. But it is a spiritual discipline. That you discipline yourself in a rhythm of life. And I use that a lot. You hear me say it a lot. A rhythm of life. Part of your rhythm of life. That you spend time in this. And everybody's different. I get to cheat. You know how I cheat? I work at a church. I can pull my Bible out anytime. I get to cheat. If you're working on a factory line, you can't whip your Bible out in the middle of your work day. I get it. So everybody has to find their rhythm. And it's not, again, it's not the spiritual Olympics, who does it the most, and I get a gold medal because of it. It's what works for you as long as it's part of the rhythm of your life. See what I'm getting at? But you have to make it a part of your life. Now, again, you are praying that the Holy Spirit helps you. And here's the big thing. Listen to me. When I say that we're after the plain meaning of a text, you must be a stickler that you're not trying to make the Bible say something it's not saying. The Bible is not, how many remember Gumby? You can't stretch Gumby, you can stretch Gumby all over. If you don't know Gumby, I'm sorry. But he's a green dude that you could stretch him and he was like very flexible. Listen to me, the Bible is not Gumby. The Christian faith is not Gumby. This has been handed to us. We don't get to do with it what we want. We learn what we've been handed and we pass it on. Be a stickler for the Bible saying what it's saying, but also for not trying to make it say what it's not. This is why the internet drives me crazy. Because a whole lot of people out there, they're acting like teachers that aren't teachers, that are putting junk out there, and then it comes into the church. Okay, so Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, is talking about false prophets. How does Jesus say that you're supposed to guide when people are saying things? You know them by their what? What is the fruit of somebody's life? How they live, their actions. Let me just say this. I'm all for you learning and stuff, but if you find it hard to know the fruit of somebody's life, be careful by taking what they say. In other words, there's too much distance between you and them to know them. Watch out for taking just what they say the Bible says and know those who labor among you. Okay? That's my little about this. I'm all glad that all sorts of that can be social media. I'm glad YouTube. I'm glad until I'm not. Be careful about receiving stuff from somebody you don't know their fruit. Because there's a lot of stuff out there. Taking the Bible and saying things that it's not really saying. Okay? You see all these things coming out about the eclipse on Monday. No. I'm not even going to go there. Don't make the Bible say what it's not saying. Let me tell you why I say that. I back up because James says not all of you all should be presumed to be teachers. Social media gives everybody a platform to say whatever they want to say without any accountability to what they say. That's why. Okay? And I told you this story before, but it just reminds me. I was youth pastoring probably about 8 months. I'm new. I was 22 still at that time. I was pastoring at 22. Believe that. That's kind of crazy. And there was a girl in the youth group. Her name was Brandy, and her mom's name's Kathleen. Yes. After church one day, Kathleen walked up to me and said, "I just want you to know that my daughter takes everything you say for gold." And I went, "Wow, that's cool." And I went, "No, it's not." What are you saying to me, you know? She was just saying, "Hey, my daughter's bought into what you're saying." Listen to me. There is a weight of responsibility that comes with taking this and saying, "I'm going to teach you out of this." So don't listen to everything that's flying around about there, okay? And be careful when you think you're going to still start being a teacher of the word. There's responsibility that comes. I understand 100%. I realized this a long time ago. I'm going to stand before the Lord someday and give an account for what I've done with this Bible with people. I understand it, which is why I do a whole lot of back studying before I stand up and do what I'm doing here. Not everybody should presume to be a teacher. Okay, see what I'm saying? In other words, read it, study it, meditate on it, but do handle it with care about what it's saying. Okay? Because this is sacred. This is the word of God. This is God giving to us a way of life that he's called us to. There's just something about that, that I tread lightly with this thing. Okay? Now, it's 8:02. I'm going to stop there. Next week, I want to talk to you a little bit about the genres of the Bible. I want to talk to you about understanding time and place and some things like that that help you understand some things. But I'm going to close with giving you the best Bible reading plan ever. You don't have to do this. This is not the only way, the most spiritual way or whatever. But to answer the question, where do I start in the Bible? Do not do this on a daily basis. Okay? If you want to know where to start, this is just what I did and what I do. If this works for you, great. If not, you can find another way. But if you want to know where to start, do this. Tomorrow, start with Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and read Genesis chapter 1. Right when you're done with Genesis chapter 1, open Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and read Matthew 1. If you want to go to Genesis chapter 2, do so. If you want to go to Matthew chapter 2, do so. Next day, wherever you stopped, Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Read a chapter a day in the Old and New Testament. Foolproof plan. And when you get to the end of Malachi and you get to the end of Revelation, Genesis chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1. And if you want to spice it up, throw in the Psalm of the Day. Today was the 94th day of the year, so today I read Psalm 94. So right now, let me pull out my Bible. So right now, I'll tell you right where I'm at. I have it bookmarked. So in the Old Testament, I'm in the book of Ecclesiastes. And I know today I read chapters 5 and 6 today, because I read two of the Old Testament every day. And in the New Testament, I'm in the book of Luke. Let me see. Let me open it. And today I read Luke 10. Tomorrow I'll be in Luke 11. And I read the 94th Psalm because today is the 94th day of the year. That's my Bible reading plan. My personal time. Has nothing to do with what I'm preaching. Because I take time for me in the Bible. I study my preaching another time. So later on today, I was working on my Sunday message. I'm going to talk to you Sunday about what it means to confess your sins. That's what I'm going to do Sunday. So I was studying that later this afternoon. But the morning, first thing, I read Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and 6. I popped over to Luke chapter 10. Then I went to Psalm 94. It's simple. But as you're going, you have questions, write the questions down. Then discuss, talk, ask the pastor, whatever. But daily, get in your word. Why, by the way, I'll just throw this out. I'll end this with, and I'll talk about this a little bit more next week. Why should you not do this? Why should you read chapter by chapter, book by book? Because the Bible is big on context. And where we get messed up with the Bible is when we pull single verses out of their context. When you read through like that, it keeps everything in its context. Context brings meaning. Okay? That's why you read chapter by chapter. I would say, actually, let's say you read through the book of Colossians. I would then go back and read the entire book in one sitting. Put the whole thing back in context. Okay? It's just a smart way to go about reading the Word. Sound good?
Yes.
Let's be people of the Word. Amen.
Amen?
All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word. Thank you for giving us what you have given us. And I pray that we're people that take time I pray there were people then who grow. I pray that that word is active and it's alive and it's sharper than a two-edged sword and it helps us. Because it's God-breathed. Thank you. Now, I pray we're sticklers about it. But I pray, Lord, that we grow and we are learning and we are changing. And the word is a vital part of who we are. So I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. All righty. We'll see you Sunday, next Wednesday. Have a blessed week.